Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's message is the Old Testament lesson, which was read from the lectern. Do any of you feel that there's just too many choices in life? This morning I thought I would try and keep a list of all the, or at least count how many choices I had to make between the time I woke up this morning and the time that I came to church this evening. I didn't get very far, and I came to the realization that there are just too many choices that I lost count. We're surrounded with choices. We go to the store, and there's a multitude of choices, even for one similar product. Have to go to the store and get peanut butter. Do I get organic or do I get non-organic? Do I get crunchy or creamy? Do I get Jif or Skippy or Roundies or some other make of peanut butter? Do I get the plain ordinary peanut butter or do I get the kind that has the honey spin into it or the one that has the peanut butter and jelly stripe in it? And the list goes on. Yesterday I was in the Young's looking for some grass seed. And I was talking to Susan and I said, well, I'm looking for some grass seed. Well, did you find anything? I said, no, there's too many choices here. Did you ask anybody? Yes, but there's still too many choices. They narrowed it down to about three. What kind of car am I going to drive? What kind of clothes am I going to wear? How do I get my hair cut? Where do I live? Where do I work? What do I do when I get up in the morning? What do I do during the day? All kinds of choices confront us. Some are easy choices. Some are difficult choices. Some are choices between good and evil. Some are choices between life and death. Some choices are between equals. But we're surrounded with choices. God here is speaking through Moses. The people are just about ready to enter into the promised land. They've already been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness because they made a bad choice in not believing the two spies that said, yes, we can take the land. So God said, fine, wander around for 40 years until that generation died off, except for two, Joshua and Caleb, who put their trust and hope in God and his promise and entered into that promised land. Now Moses is speaking to them and he says, now you're coming into this new land and there's going to be all sorts of choices because I'm not going to be here leading you by the hand. And there are going to be pagans here. There are going to be people that offer sacrifices to other gods. There are going to be people who eat foods that God has told you not to eat, to abstain from. And you're going to have to make choices. And in order to help you, God has given you these commandments and these laws. And if you choose to follow them, then you'll live long in the land that you're taking possession of. If you choose not to, then you will die. Choices. They go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Wouldn't our life be a whole lot happier if there wasn't that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? If God hadn't said, don't eat from it, and put it there, if he'd just left it out of there. Or if Adam and Eve would have just listened to God and not eaten from it, we'd be living in a completely different world. We would be living in a sinless world, a world that is not destroyed and corrupted by the effects of sin. We wouldn't be engaging in war and terrorist, anti-terrorist activity. We'd all get along marvelously well with one another in our homes, in our schools, in our workplace, in our church, in the world. We would really be in paradise, wouldn't we? But God put a choice before Adam and Eve. And we really wouldn't like life without choices, would we? We wouldn't like it if we all dressed the same, if we all ate the same, if we all drove the same vehicle. Could you imagine being at the Mall of America looking for a gray Buick and everybody's driving gray Buicks? We like choice. And choice is partly what makes us unique and the individuals that we are, shortcomings and all. But Adam and Eve made a wrong choice. They chose death over life because death looked so much more promising than life. And because of that, they would make bad choice forever. That's what sin is. In a sense, making a choice to say no to God. No, I'm not going to follow those commands. No, I'm not going to follow those rules that you've given to me. And we read on in the Old Testament and we see how the people of Israel disobeyed God's law, went after the other gods, followed the customs of the pagan peoples in the land that they were taking possession of, and how they came further and further away from God, and how it only brought destruction to them. We see it even in the lives of God's faithful people, the heroes of our faith. We see it in Abraham when he chose to disobey God, that it only brought hardship. We see it in Jacob's life, in Esau's life, in Isaac's life, in David and Solomon's life. We even see it in the lives of the disciples. And we see it also in our own lives. Adam and Eve, in choosing to say no to God, could only from then on say no to Him. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to say yes to God, to say yes to taking on human flesh, to say yes to going to the cross, to say yes to suffer the punishment for people who perhaps didn't even have a clue that they were being punished or had a punishment coming, and even if they did, perhaps were ungrateful about it, who said yes to all that God commanded and fulfilled that law and that obligation perfectly, not for himself, but for you and for I. In that work of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to us in God's Word and convinces us, convicts us of our sinfulness, convicts us of our wanting to say no to God, and begins to say yes to God on our behalf. We come to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through that Word, working through the water of baptism. And now, with the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, making available to us the power of Jesus Christ, we are able to sometimes say yes to God. But we'll still sometimes say no to Him. But we will begin at times also to say yes to Him. The choices are set before us. Do I come to church, or do I sleep in? Do I lash out at the person who's just lashed out at me, or do I turn to them in love and understanding? Do I do the work that I'm supposed to be doing, or do I not do that work? Do I live as the child that God wants me to be, following His commands, or do I live as a child of the world? And sometimes we say yes, and sometimes we say no. We can't escape the choices that come before us. But God has made a choice for each of us in Jesus Christ. And God's choice is a choice for life, not for death. A choice for good and not for evil. A choice that gives us a hope and a future. A hope and a future with Him for eternity. In Jesus Christ, all of God's promises and all of God's choices to us are allowed resounding yes. Still, we're confronted with choices in our day-to-day life. Some are choices between equals. Do I eat fruit or do I eat vegetable? They're both good for me. Do I eat a donut or do I eat an apple? Well, I might like the donut more than I like the apple. Do I exercise or do I be a couch potato? Some of those choices are very much effective in our lives to affect either life or death. But the greatest choice that we make in life is whether or not we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's a choice, unfortunately, that we cannot make on our own. It's a choice that we need God to make for us. We need to ask Him to forgive us of our sinfulness and turn our lives over to Him and allow His Holy Spirit to work in our lives through the power of His Word at work in us. God has already told us that that's a choice that He more than willingly enables us to make. It's a choice that He desires for us to make. But yet, many people refuse to make that choice. Many people continue to choose to be God's enemies, only to their own destruction. It may look as though they're living through life in this world without a care, but the end will come. And the outcome of their choices will indeed catch up with them. And it may indeed be a struggle for us. Indeed, our Lord tells us it will not be easy to be His disciple. It's not easy to give up our own desires, our own wants, in order to follow His desires and His will. But yet, that's what God has called us to do, to deny ourselves, to leave everything about ourselves behind, to follow Him and to be the person that He wants us to be. With a new season coming upon us, there'll be new episodes of The Biggest Loser, I'm sure. Wouldn't it be interesting to have a series called The Biggest Winner, where it isn't somebody getting a multi-million-dollar job with Donald Trump, but someone who, by God's grace, comes to the greatest knowledge and the greatest gift and the greatest choice, that of life in Jesus Christ. The choices are ever before us. God is ever present to help us in making those choices. But the key that you and I sometimes forget is that we not only have to listen to what God is telling us, we sometimes also have to do what God is telling us to do. May He enable us, by His power at work in us, to be hearers and doers as we live as His children. And may He enable us always, even in the midst of times when we make bad choices, to seek Him in repentance and forgiveness and receive the choice that He made for us in Christ Jesus and live. May God grant that for our soul's comfort and to His glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us stand. is and what the word is for admittance. Then we can begin to become concerned about others. And our Lord doesn't tell us how many are going to be saved. That knowledge he reserves for himself, and for the Father and the Holy Spirit. For you and for I, he says, go and get the word out. Go and make disciples, teaching them, instructing them everything that I've told you about who the narrow door is and how you gain admittance through it. He then will take care of the rest. Well, then there's one other thing. At the end he says, take note, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. Another way of saying that is, I think when we get to heaven, we'll be surprised at who we see is there and who we will see that is not there. Having a name that starts with A, I always had the first seat. I always knew the first day of school where to go. First desk in front of the teacher, or if the teacher sat you by the door first, that's where I sat. Always first, always first, always first. Pastor, go ahead. Get in line, go first. I say, no, I'm fine being in the back. It's only when you know what it's like to be in the front, being the first, that you're willing then to step back to let somebody else be first. It's only when we know and are certain of our salvation in Jesus Christ that we can step back and let somebody else come forward to come to that knowledge as well. May God grant to us the wisdom and the knowledge to heed his answer, to see to our own salvation by his grace in our lives as he works through us and in us through his word and through his Holy Spirit and through his Holy Supper and through our baptism, to be certain without a doubt that our salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to his cross we cling. And to have the patience and the gentleness and the kindness to share that knowledge with others. May God grant that, not only for our soul's comfort, but for the comfort of many. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.